Satan had rather you read the Bible than to pray. He'd rather me preach than pray, you sing than pray, you teach than pray, witness than pray, do anything you want to do, but stay off your knees at all cost. Satan has enough emergencies to last the rest of your life to keep you off your knees. And the tragedy is that he's succeeding.
Is your desire to glorify God continually growing? The answer to that question is directly proportional to the strength of your connection to Him through prayer. And the kind of praying we'll hear about today on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley, moves you far beyond just asking for help in a crisis. Stay with us now and learn what it takes to be a person of powerful prayer.
The apostles had watched the Lord Jesus Christ heal. They had watched Him teach. They had watched Him perform miracle after miracle, but there was something very unusual about Him when He had come out of a place of private prayer. And so in this particular verse it says, "It came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He finished, one of those disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Now, not just so much how to pray, but, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray." Now, you know that Jesus prayed at His baptism. He prayed when He was tempted by Satan. All throughout His life, He was praying, and He was God. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God, felt the need to begin His day in prayer, and felt the need to end His day in prayer, and felt the need to pray all night long before He made great decisions, how much more should you and I feel the need of personal, private prayer? How in the world can you and I develop a relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, if we're always with someone else and always in the midst of noise and always in the process of doing this and going there and being busy here and yonder? It is absolutely impossible to build a relationship with Jesus Christ where there is no time given to Him alone. He longs to have time with us alone, where He knows that we are absolutely and totally consumed with loving Him, expressing our love toward Him, and worshiping Him in private, not going to church. You can go to church every Sunday of your life. You can read the Bible every day of your life. But if you neglect that time alone with God on your face somewhere, I want to tell you, you remember this, that you will live no better than you pray. A man preaches no better than he prays, sings no better than he prays, teaches no better than he prays. We do nothing any better than we pray. And the reason the body of Christ is so weak and the church is so weak in preaching and teaching and singing and leading and all the areas of service in the body of Christ, the reason there's so much weakness is because our prayer life is so weak. Satan had rather you read the Bible than to pray. He'd rather me preach than pray, you sing than pray, you teach than pray, witness than pray, do anything you want to do, but stay off your knees at all cost. Because the devil knows that when you and I fall upon our face before God, He begins to transform our natural into the supernatural. God does a very special work in the life. It's like He covers that life with that which is absolutely humanly indescribable when you and I fall upon our face before Him and begin to worship Him and love Him and listen to Him and express our devotion to Him in privacy, alone with Him and no one else. But I can tell you, if you wait till you have time, you'll never have time. And you could write down on a slip of paper today, "I vow to pray before God so many hours of the day or so many minutes of the day," whatever you want to do. And I'm here to tell you, the day or the moment you start, Satan already has something else for you to do, somebody else for you to talk to, something that's calling you. Satan has enough emergencies to last the rest of your life to keep you off your knees. And the tragedy is that he's succeeding. I want to tell you this, reading books won't make you a prayer warrior. The purpose of this is not simply to motivate you to pray. The purpose is that for you who know that you ought to pray, and for you who want to pray, and for you who feel the burden to pray, and for you who know in your heart you ought to pray, and deep down inside you need a little help to pray, I'm simply laying one principle on the other week after week after week for those of you who mean business for God, that your prayer life can become a supernatural expression of what God can do in the life of any person who is willing to get along just a little bit every day and love Jesus Christ privately. God can ignite a little teeny itsy bitsy flame that could spread across the world. But I want to tell you, he's only going to do it by praying. And that doesn't start with corporate praying. It starts with private praying. So there are four things I want to say to you. First of all, if you're going to develop a prayer life that's going to make your life powerful in the eyes of God, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to decide that you're going to set aside some time. Now, let me just think about this. It is a sin for Christians who have heard the gospel for years and years and years and have watched God answer prayer over and over and over again to sit down and spend 1, 2, 3, 4 hours a night watching television and get up with their minds boggled with the world and then whisper, oh, Lord, bless me tomorrow and help me in my job and bless my family and take care of my kids and supply needs in Jesus' name on my way to sleep. And that's where God's people spend their time bowing down before the God, worshiping the God of this world, the pleasures of this world, when there is almighty, supernatural, omnipotent, omniscient, loving God sitting in heaven, waiting to pour out his blessings upon his people. But they're too well fed with the world. And there is absolutely no excuse. Amen? There is no excuse. Don't ever tell me you don't have time to pray. Don't tell God you don't have time to pray. There is always time. Listen, if you don't know how to start, could I make a suggestion? Would you just decide, Lord, by your help and your strength, and I'm going to tell you this, don't say that, Lord, if you'll help me, forget it. When you and I know what to do, we can do it. If it is God's will, we have all the assistance we need. I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to start today, not tomorrow, to set aside 15 minutes beginning today by yourself, alone before God, and just start talking to him. You say, well, now look, I don't know how to pray. Let me tell you how to pray. You just talk to him like you're talking to your best friend. Don't use any big words. Don't try to impress him. Just talk to him. Now, here's what will happen for some people. You'll pray about 5 minutes, and you'll say, goodness, I've been praying an hour. Let me show you something very interesting. You've been there, haven't you? Let me tell you something very interesting, and I see this, and just blesses me. You watch a fellow get saved, and God begin to work in his or her life, and they first start praying. They pray about 5 minutes, and they've prayed all the way around the world. They've covered everything there is to cover. They think, I've been praying an hour. And then as God begins to deepen their life, he just turns that over. And they've prayed an hour, and they think, my goodness, haven't been praying very long. Been praying, must have been praying about 5 minutes, and then it's an hour. You see, it says something about my relationship to Jesus Christ. Got to set aside time. Listen, there's not a man, woman, boy, or girl, I don't care how early you have to get up in the morning or what you have to do. There's not a person here who can't start with 15 minutes. And you just open your Bible to some passage of Scripture and read it and tell God you want him to get you ready and start the day off. Listen, if Jesus Christ, who had the ministry he had, could spend all or the early hours, you say, well, he didn't have to go to work at a certain time. Don't fool yourself. The crowds were thronging him oftentimes at daybreak. That's why he had to get up a great while before day to pray. 15 minutes to start with and tell God that you want to develop a relationship with him like you've never had before. And just tell him, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say, but I'm just going to tell you the best I know. And this lady said, I discovered with a group of ladies and we started praying together. We didn't know how to pray, but when we got burdened, we learned how. Second thing you've got to have is a place. You say, well, can't I pray driving down the expressway and going to church and all these things? Sure you can, but let me ask you this. Isn't it evident in the life of Jesus Christ that as he walked the dusty roads of Galilee and as he preached and taught and healed and performed miracles and discussed with his disciples, that he was in a prayerful mood all the time, but that wasn't sufficient for him? A great while before daybreak he prayed. All night he prayed. Somebody says, well, you pray all night, you'll be so dead the next morning you can't even work. I want to tell you something. That is the devil's lie. There is a mystery. There is a supernatural mystery about prayer for which there is no human explanation in all the world, that a man can pray all night long and the next morning he's absolutely fresh as a blooming daisy. You say, how do you explain that? I won't even begin to try and offer an explanation for that. There is no explanation for that. That's the supernatural power of God, but I can tell you this. There's a little verse in Isaiah 40, which I have to quote to myself very often. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How long do you have to wait upon the Lord? When I was in New Zealand and when I was in the South Island, I had to preach 8 times a day. And 4 of those were back to back around the lunchtime, starting at 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock. Well, I'd preach 25 minutes and I'd have 5 minutes to rest. These folks would go out and some other people would come in. And these were business people who met downtown. I realized when he told me what I had to do, I began to think, well, how am I going to do this? 2 hours in a row with 5 minutes between each time. So there was a place, a little room, about just enough for me to lie down on the floor. So I laid on a hard concrete floor, cold, and I put my Bible under my head, and I just said, okay, God, I've got 5 minutes. You said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I've got 5 minutes to wait, God. That's all I've got. And I preached all 4 of those times. Did you know that after that, I wasn't even tired? There is a mystery about getting alone with God for which there's no human explanation. When a fellow says, man, I can't pray half the night and then work the next day. Yes, you can. When a man tells me he can't, you know what I know? I know he's never tried it. That's what I know. But what about that place? When there's a place in your home or somewhere where you come with God and you battle out the big decisions in your life, all of a sudden, you wake up to realize one of these days that place has become your altar before God. That place is very special. And if it can be a different room and a place that you don't do anything else in necessarily, or an extra room in your house or some other place, maybe it's in the basement somewhere. Put you up a few 2x4s and put you up some old wall board and make you a place to pray. It doesn't have to be pretty. In fact, you don't want anything in it but 4 walls if necessary, because you don't want to be distracted by anything. You want it absolutely with nothing there but a place to lie down and stretch out before God. But I want to tell you something. That place will become sacred and holy to you. And here's what will happen. If it can be a place that's separate, when you walk in, it's like God prepares you just like that. Because that's the thing you do when you get there. And so your mind is programmed that when you walk in that place or you kneel at that particular place, it can be down beside your bed. If you've got a particular spot or over in a particular chair where you kneel in, over behind the chair in a corner, because there's something about the feeling of seclusion away with God. Now, if you say, well, I can just pray just as well any old way, then you haven't tried what I'm talking about. It's interesting to me that the Bible says that Jesus went up in the mountain apart to pray. He was always getting up there away, secluded to pray, because he knew the value of seclusion, being shut up to the Father without being interrupted by anyone else. There's something precious and special about the place. Then let's talk about the purpose. When you get along with the Lord, what's the purpose of that? You say, well, that's very simple. You've been talking about praying. No, now wait a minute. What is the purpose of our spending time alone with the Lord? Is there any purpose except interceding for others and petitioning God for my needs? Is there any other purpose for prayer than that? And I'm going to tell you that there is a higher purpose than making petition. The greatest purpose of prayer is not so much what I get from God, but it is the fact that I am in the Lord's presence and I am aware of His presence, shut up to Him, loving Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, being quiet and listening and talking to Him. What does He do? I'll tell you what He does. When you and I get along with God, kneeling before Him, it is like the Lord begins to move over our life, like He covers us with an awareness of His presence. You say, well, I've been praying. I never felt that. Keep praying, brother. If you'll just keep praying and you'll ask God and tell Him that more than you want anything that He has to give, you want Him. And you see, the greatest profit in praying is not what I get from God or by some material thing. The greatest profit of praying is what? As we're in His presence, we are being gradually conformed to His likeness. When you and I get on our face before God and we concentrate on Him and we talk to Him and we share our heart with Him and we open our soul to Him and we pour out our innermost being to Him, what are we doing but focusing our countenance upon Him? And what does He do? In the process of our praying privately along with Him, He is very silently but quietly doing what? Transforming us into His likeness, fashioning us into his likeness, giving us his mind, working into our life, his very being, pruning out of our lives those things ought not to be there. You can never come out of a place of private devotion to him like you entered. But there's one last thing, and that is, you ought to have a plan. Because if you're not careful, here's what you'll do. Somebody will say, I need you to pray for me. You'll pray 2 days, and that's the end of it. You forget it. So let me just tell you a real simple thing that you can do. Just buy yourself a stenographer's pad. It'll set up because it has little wire on the end of it. Leave the setup if you want to set up. You can flip the pages, lie it down, anything you want to do. At the top of it, you write on the left-hand column, left-hand side, what you're praying about. At the end of that, put the date you started praying. And then, as God answers that prayer, draw one line through it. Don't draw more than one line so you can see what you have there. Draw one line through it and write the date that God answered your prayer. And here's what will happen. As you begin to add things to that prayer list, and as God begins to answer your prayers, and you keep drawing lines through those things, every time you pick up that pad and you see all those lines, every one of those lines says that what? God answers prayer, God answers prayer, God answers prayer, God answers prayer. Because each one of those lines represents an answer, and out to the side of it, you have a date. You're talking about building your faith? Nothing will build your faith. Nothing will deepen your desire to be alone with God like keeping a record of what God has been doing and is doing in your life. Now, don't get you a pad and go home and fill it up. You get you a pad and you go home, and before God, you say, Lord, I want you to show me what to pray about. God will show you what to pray about, and God will work. Now, that's four simple little suggestions that every single one of you can utilize if you are wise enough to take heed to what you're listening to. Now, here's the question. The big question is always this: what am I going to get out of it? What's God going to make me if I really give myself to prayer? Is God going to make me more eloquent so I can speak better? Is God going to make me more eloquent so I can teach better? Is God going to call me to the mission field, make me a great missionary? Am I going to be able to sing better? Am I going to be able to exercise leadership better? What thing is going to happen to me if I pray? Well, what would happen to you if I told you that as far as the world is concerned, more than likely, nothing? Some of you would say, well, I don't have time for that. Well, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to turn to a beautiful passage of scripture that more than likely you've never seen it like this. Here is the most beautiful picture in the scripture, I believe, of what happens to a man or a woman who really and truly develops a private, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer. Chapter 32 of Isaiah, verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great almighty rock in a weary land. When you and I begin to establish that private time alone with him, being quiet, and God begins to conform you and transform you, you know what's going to happen? The anxieties disappear. The worries disappear. The direction becomes clear. The fogginess that hinders your decisions begin to lift. God begins to do a sweet, wonderful work in your life, whereof you will find no other place and no other action that'll bring about the same result. But all that's private. Here's what God will do in your life in behalf of others. As you become a person whose life is characterized by prayer, listen, he will make you a man who is like a hiding place to others. When the winds of trouble begin to blow against them, he says, you'll be like a hiding place to those who are being wind-blown with the troubles and the heartaches of life. He says, when the storms beat down upon them, they'll find you like a covering where they can run to and find some help and some encouragement and some protection. He says, when those lives are walking through deserts and they're empty and lonely and frustrating and hurting, he says, what? You'll be like a beautiful spring of water flowing in the desert, like a river in dry places. When our prayer life is like God wants it to be, he says that you and I will be like what? Like, he says, watch, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary place, a place in the midst of heartaches and burdens and storms and the heat of the day and the blowing winds, the hot winds of trouble that come across us. When a man's in that kind of trouble, He needs or she needs to meet a person who's been alone with the Lord, because that person will be, as he says, like a hiding place with a blowing hot wind, like a covering when the storm beats down upon them, like a spring when everything is so dry, and like the cool breeze that flows around that mighty rock that's caused the great shadow in a weary land. Nobody in the world may ever know you by name except the folks around you. But let me ask you this. Would you say that to become that type of person to the people around you would be worth you spending time alone with God? Because what he's really saying is, you'll become an oasis in somebody else's desert if you'll learn to stay alone with God until he transforms your life and until that becomes a habit of devotion and love and praise to him.
How will you respond to the challenge you heard from Dr. Stanley's message today on In Touch? Will you set aside 15 minutes today to humbly seek the Lord? As you make that a priority, you'll begin to notice your life being transformed by the power of God. To study more about prayer and how to develop a close relationship with the Lord, stop by our website, intouch.org. And to listen again, click on Today on Radio on our homepage. Our web address again is intouch.org. You may write to In Touch Ministries of Australia at P.O. Box 704, Penrith, New South Wales 27511, or ring us on 1-800-765-615 for the cost of a local call. Again, that's 1-800-765-615. You may also email us at au@intouch.org. Again, you may send an email to au@intouch.org. Crisis, fear, desperation, all good reasons for a believer to pray. But there is something else, something foundational. Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
What is it that motivates you to pray? Let me just tell you what motivates some people to get alone to pray. For many people, they do not get alone to pray unless there's a time of decision. That's what motivates them. When there's a decision that they don't seem to be able to get an answer for, then they're willing to stop and take time to get on their face before God or kneel and talk to him. For other people, it is a time of great difficulty when the surroundings or the situation is such they don't know what to do next. And so they begin to pray and ask for the Lord to give them a sense of guidance and direction. For some people, they have to get to the point of being absolutely desperate before they fall on their face before God in private communion with him and begin to pour out their heart and express their desire and their need. Out of difficulty and discouragement and desperation, decision making, we are driven and motivated to pray privately and earnestly before God. But would you not agree that the one thing that ought to motivate us to pray above everything else, I mean to get alone with him, is the fact of our own devotion to Jesus Christ? Should that not be sufficient reason to motivate us to get along with him? Because we love him? Because he's done so much for us? Because he desires fellowship with us? And because we ought to desire fellowship with him? Of all the things that ought to motivate us to spend time alone with Jesus Christ ought to be that we have a genuine, all-consuming love and devotion to him. And in order to build a relationship to him, that's what we must do. We must spend time with him.
Learn more about the powerful privilege of prayer at intouch.org. And if today's program has given you guidance for your spiritual journey, please let us know. Next week on In Touch, much of our praying is intercession on behalf of our family and friends. So join us next weekend to get some insight on praying for others on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.